This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, it's going to be a big Saturday. Big Saturday, big Sunday on the station. NCAA tournament. United. Hawks tonight. Braves this week coming up. Oh, yeah. And, of course, the Falcons. There is a lot of stuff we have to talk about, you and I. So you better get down with it as we roll through the next 3.5 hours. Live from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Saturday. You always know the number, 404-726-0929. And I would hope that by now you know the rules of engagement. You know, we can disagree without being disagreeable, and hopefully we agree. But if we don't, that's fine. All I seek is clarity in your position. As long as we're clear, that's the most. By the way, so that you understand, the most important thing whenever you're having a debate or a discussion, not an argument, because that's not what we do, is that whenever you're having a debate or a discussion, it is clarity. You need to just be clear. You can totally disagree with someone as long as you're clear where you stand, okay? And so, you know, as long as we have clarity, we're good. You know, you got your opinion, I got mine. Everybody's got opinions. It's all good. So a couple of things off the top, and then we'll kind of get into what's going to happen in the show today. First off, I just want to say good morning to Noelle White. She is the technical director, the executive producer, the board operator, the call screener, co-host, everything. Anything else you can name, she's it. How you doing, Noelle?
Pretty good, John. It's been pretty good, pretty smooth morning. I'm just ready to get to some more basketball later on today.
Oh, wait, did you just jinx the whole show? It's been a pretty smooth morning, you know? It's all going to go to hell. Thanks a lot.
No. It's going to stay that way. It's going to stay that way. I'm going to get out of here at noon, and everything's going to be nice and smooth.
So Noelle is the one answering the phone, so you better be nice to her. She'll just hang up on you. That's what she'll do, okay? And you will not be a guest. By the way, you're a guest on my show, not a caller, okay? So there's that. We're going to get into the tournament. Again, this is kind of how it lays out because we have a busy day on the station. The NCAA tournament games today, the round of 32, today are going to be on our sister station, 1380 News and Talk WAOK. So if you're looking for tournament games, they're going to be on 1380 WAOK because here I'm taking you to 130, and that's the beginning of our coverage of Atlanta United at FC Cincinnati in an afternoon fair up in Ohio. And so that'll be at 1:30. And then coming up at 6:30 tonight, coverage from State Farm Arena, 7 o'clock tip, Hawks and Warriors. Now, the Warriors are not going to have Steph tonight. He didn't travel with the team. He got knocked to the floor in kind of a nasty foul against the Raptors. So he did not travel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean much of anything because we all know that Jonathan Kuminga just like owns us for some reason. And the Warriors, who went out and made a gigantic move to get Jimmy Butler and paid him a boatload of money, are 16-3 since Butler showed up. So there's that. And of course, they still have Draymond. So, you know, not having Steph is certainly a blow to the Warriors, but, you know, they're still a pretty darn good team. So again, Atlanta United 130, and United's a little banged up too, by the way, going into this game. Going to be with some out, you know, Tiari's not going to play. You know, there's a couple others that are out. So, against FC Cincinnati, which is also banged up. 1:30, Atlanta United, FC Cincinnati. 6:30 from State Farm Arena, Hawks and Warriors. Do know that Orlando won last night, so the Hawks lead over Orlando is one game and 13 to go for the Hawks. And that seventh place is really kind of important in the play-in. Hawks are not going to get to the top six, but if they can lock down that seventh place and it's them or Orlando, that's going to be the battle. It'll be really important because then they only have to win one play-in game. And if you're in the number seven seed, you get that play-in game at home. So really important if they can get that number seven seed. That's the radio station today. Now, two other quick things, and we'll get into kind of the flow of the show here. I'm just going to say this only because it's my show and my platform, but I'm really angry about something that I saw last night, okay? And I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to move on. Some of you will get it. Some of you won't. You won't understand it. That's fine. It's going to be real quick. Okay, here it is. Any mark sucks. Okay, that's it. Any mark sucks. That's all you need to know, okay? I was throwing things at the team. Any mark sucks. What? Huh? What are you doing? Yeah, any mark sucks. Okay, that's it. Noel, do you have any idea what that means?
Clueless, John.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. There are people out there that will get it. Yeah, any marks. Yeah, okay. And then, hey, listen, tip of the hat. I mean, only 76, but George Foreman. You know, George Foreman, I'm old enough, sadly for me, that I remember George Foreman in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Bob Beamon. The couple of things that I remember from watching that, I was 8 years old, but it was like one of the first things that was very impressionable on me. Bob Beamon set a world record in the long jump. I remember that. And then George Foreman winning the heavyweight, boxing title. And it was this George Foreman. And I was like, oh, is this George Foreman going to be? Because it used to be that if you were an Olympic gold medalist and an American, well, mostly an American, it could be anybody. But if you were an Olympic gold medalist in boxing, that usually was a pretty good indicator that you were going to be, a professional fighter. And, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard won an Olympic gold medal. You know, Roy Jones won what am I talking about? Roy Jones got out of an Olympic gold medal, but that's a different story. Dwayne Bobic won an Olympic gold medal, and we all thought he was going to be great. He wasn't so great. But Michael Spinks. I mean, so if you win an Olympic gold, and then George Foreman won an Olympic gold, because this is at the time in 68, there's a height of Ali and Frazier, right? And here comes this new guy, you know, George Foreman, and we all went, oh, because I think he was like a teenager at the time. And so it was like, oh, okay, let's see what this guy do. And then, of course, you had cut George Foreman, you know, all ripped and cut when he first showed up and started, laying haymakers on people and knocking people out because he was a knockout guy. He wasn't a Floyd Mayweather technical boxer. No, George got in the ring and just knocked you out, okay? That's all he did. And then, of course, he quits boxing, becomes a preacher. There's a famous Sports Illustrated story about him, about when he became a preacher after he quit boxing. And on Sundays, he would go to service, then he'd teach Sunday school, and then he would go to the McDonald's, and he would get eight Big Macs. Not for the Sunday school class, for him.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, 8 Big Macs for him. And that's when he became Fat George. And then he comes back as Fat George, right? And we're all like, oh, come on, George, who would? Because literally, George was probably the most cut, ripped boxer of his era. You know, it was like, this dude is like, I mean, he looked like, you know, and he comes back as Fat George. We're like, come on. And he starts beating up on people again. We're like, okay, good. Then he starts selling grills. And I bought one. Noel, did you have a George Foreman grill? Or are you too young for that?
Of course, we all had one. I had the double X deluxe.
Right, yeah, okay. We all had Mansell grills. He sold a lot of them. You know, great man, great fighter, and we remember him after passing at the age of 76 yesterday. Okay, we're going to get into the show. Again, it is a busy, busy week ahead. Busy day today, busy day tomorrow. We have the round of 32 today and tomorrow. We'll take us to Thursday in the Sweet 16. Atlanta United, Hawks. We have some Falcons to talk about today. The Braves on Thursday, the Braves season opener. Okay? Braves season opener is Thursday against the Padres. In about 10 minutes, Grant McCauley is going to join us, and I want to kind of get a little primer, okay? And I want to hear, I have a lot of questions for Grant because he's been down at spring training. He's seen the team. I want to ask him about, literally, I'm just going to say, oh, Grant, I'm setting this up. I've got 8 questions, and I'm going to go one by one, okay? Because I need a primer from him because he is not only a Braves expert, but he's had eyes on the ground, and he knows what he sees, and he can fill me in more from me just trying to guess that, oh, this guy's going to be ready, or this guy's going to be good, or this area of the team is going to be, you know, a concern, or things of that nature. So I'm going to have Grant join us in about 10 minutes. At 11 o'clock today, our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, is going to weigh in and talk a little bit about what we've seen so far in the tournament. Now, having said that, I have to brag. Okay, I have to stop. Everybody does brackets. Some people do them online. They get into challenges, whatever. You do them at work. Some people bet. Some people don't. I do one bracket, and it's only for the family, okay? And there's like 15 of us, and we all take pictures of our bracket in a big, long thread, and we send it to each other, and then we're responsible for keeping our own score. But we have the copy of it, you know? I mean, we have the picture of it, so you can't cheat. I never win this thing, okay? And, you know, I never. I'm in first place. Why? Because I picked McNeese State, I picked Colorado State, and I picked New Mexico. In a, you know, opening round, opening couple of days, I guess if you include the play in 4 days, in the opening round to get to this point, it was pretty chalky. And but no, I just happened to pick 3 of the upsets. In a pretty chalk, and chalk around the board, you know. So, I mean, of the 32, I got 30 of the 32. So, I'm in first place. Kind of mixed results for the SEC. 8 still in, which is pretty good. But of that record 14, 6 are already out. There are 8 Big Ten teams still in. There are 3 from the Big... I checked that. 2 from the Big East, and... 6 from, I just wrote something down wrong. 6 from the Big 12. Oh, there's 6 from the Big 12. I put that in the wrong spot here. Just writing a list down here. Let me scratch that. You know, only two from the Big, no, UConn's still alive. There's 3. Never mind. There are 3 from the Big, all right, so I'm just trying to figure this out. All right, so UConn's still alive. But there's only one, the point, I'm losing the point here. The point is, 8 from the Big 10, 8 from the SEC, that's half the field of 32, ACC, 1 team. So SEC and Big Ten have half the field. ACC has 1 team. Duke, that's it. Nobody else. They're all gone. Just Duke. Now, that's a pretty good one to have. I'm not going to argue that. But Noel, you're a North Carolina fan. Are you surprised the ACC has only 1 team left? This hasn't happened in like 50 years. 1 team left in the round of 32?
No, because we saw it leading up to the tournament. I'm just more so surprised about the ACC overall. Like, just heading into the tournament, it was like, wow, it's Duke, and then, it's Duke. So, this is an unprecedented down year, and I don't know if this is an outlier or if this is something that we should get used to.
Well, there's 2 from the Mountain West Conference that are still alive, 2 from the West Coast Conference that are still alive, and 1 from the ACC. I know. Yeah, it's just wild. So we'll see how kind of all plays out, though. I get pretty chalky, but a lot of really good games. Starts at 12 today in a couple of hours. The first tip-off, McNeese State, those Cowpokes against Purdue. Also today, Arkansas, 2:40, Arkansas St. John's. 5:15, Michigan, Texas A&M. 6:10, Drake and Texas Tech. And then it gets really good. The final 4 games at night are really good. 7:10, Creighton and Auburn. 7:45, BYU and Wisconsin. 8:40, the Zags, Gonzaga and Houston. And 9:40, UCLA, Tennessee. So, really, really good day. Really, it should be a lot of fun to watch some of these games. That night, that night quadrant of those four games, Creighton, Auburn, BYU, Wisconsin, Gonzaga, Houston, UCLA, Tennessee. Wow, that should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we get back in a moment, I need a primer and an update from our Braves expert, Grant McCauley. I'm going to get one. I encourage you to listen because I'm going to kind of go down step by step with him on the team, and you'll get an update on the injury status, when you'll see guys back, what do you think some of the new guys that are coming in, all that kind of stuff. Next from our Braves expert, John Fricke, with you on a Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Saturday morning. Busy, busy, busy time of the year. That's good. I was just texting with my brother, whose name is Mark, and I said, I give him a hard time. Mark, you're in, he sucks. That's just me. Yeah. Of all the things that are going to happen this week, includes Braves opening day, 5 days away from now. Let's welcome into the program our Braves reporter. You watch him on 11 Alive, read him in the Marietta Daily Journal, listen to him on From the Diamond, et cetera, because he's everywhere, because he's the guy when it comes to the Braves, and that is, of course, Grant McCauley. Grant, how you doing?
Hey, John. Good to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. So, Grant, I have a laundry list of like 7 or 8 things. I'm just going to jump into it, and I want you to – this is like I'm pitching, you're hitting. You ready?
All right. All right. Let's do it.
Let's begin with the health of the team, because you're there and you laid eyes on them. I'll tell you the three kind of in the order is I think we're looking at them returning. Sean Murphy, Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna. Tell me how all are doing and when you expect them back.
I think that's pretty accurate. Spencer Strider and Sean Murphy, I think you could target the middle of April. Maybe Sean's back a little bit sooner. Just kind of depends on what Spencer's rehab assignment looks like and how quickly he's able to build up the innings that he needs to rejoin the rotation. That's really the question there. I haven't heard anything as far as setbacks for Sean Murphy, so I think it's just kind of that 4 to 6 week window, which, you know, is unfortunate based on the timing. We saw what happened to him last year, but hopefully he's able to get a few at bats and get himself back in there and be a very big part of what the club was hoping for him to do, not only with trading and bringing him over here, but obviously for 2025 to be that kind of that rock behind the plate and really help lead this pitching staff. So that leaves Ronald Acuna Jr. That's the big one that everybody has been anticipating for the lineup, especially after watching them struggle last year. Even Ronald was not the player that he wanted to be last year the first couple of months. I still think early May, maybe the first week. I could be a little optimistic there, but from everything I saw in spring training, everything I heard from him and talking to Alex Anthopoulos in depth, which you'll be able to hear on Monday night on From the Diamond, my conversation with Alex, they feel pretty confident about where everybody is. It's about avoiding setbacks and doing everything they need to do, checking all those boxes to get these guys back at the right time.
All right, Grant McCauley, at Grant McCauley. McCauley is a 1C, McCauley. You can join 67,000 other followers of Grant on X, and you can talk Braves and follow him on From the Diamond again, as you mentioned, tomorrow night. Now, let's get to, I want to go through the team kind of area by area if I can. My biggest concern, if I have a concern, starting the season is in the bullpen. I know you have a 9. I'm not sure who 7 and 8 are. I don't know kind of how the middle of the bullpen is going to be kind of set up here. So I need you to take me through it. Now, having said that, I also want to throw this in. You take a flyer on Kimbrel, bringing him back. Mm-hmm. And I noticed you posted last night that Jesse Chavez is available. Is that another flyer they're going to, is that something that would actually,
we'll,
I mean, with a side of 68-year-old guy?
I can't rule that out anymore. Yeah, I right. can't rule it out anymore. It would be like his 17th stint with the club in the last 5 years. So who's to say?
Mm-hmm. Well, we need him out there so somebody can pick him up on home runs. I mean, that's right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that he offers, that's for sure. But I can kind of piece together the bullpen for you to kind of get back to like the meat and potatoes of this discussion,
sure.
Because it's not Jesse Chavez is obviously not, you know, plan A to fix everything or to solve everything or to align everything even, though he would be, I think, welcome back with open arms. But putting that aside, I mean, you know Raisel Iglesias is covering the 9th inning, as you mentioned. I think Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee are your, you know, righty-lefty setup men, whether that's 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th. Then I think Daisbell Hernandez is a guy who could get some run this year as someone that they saw a year ago that they believe has big stuff that can get some swing and miss and could also be a high-leverage arm for them. Then that second lefty is Aaron Bummer, the veteran. They restructured his contract, so he's still around. And I think if you need that lefty to come in, maybe get that ground ball double play in the 6th or 7th inning, that could be who you turn to there. Once you get beyond that, yep, there's Craig Kimbrel. That could be, you know, a month or so away. I'm curious when the rotation, how it all shakes out. Is Grant Holmes a guy that ends up with his profile? Because he does miss bats. If he's not in the rotation, could he help you out as a big-time reliever, a swingman of sorts that is the multi-inning weapon? Or if you need a spot starter or just somebody to cover a bunch of innings or maybe just come in and dominate. I mean, he did that last year. He did a little of everything. So I'm intrigued to see where he fits into everything. And then I think it's a little bit of just trying to figure out who over the course of the season might just take one of these jobs and run with it. So no Joe Jimenez obviously hurts this club. When you lose A.J. Minter and don't have your best righty reliever, your non-closer anyway, that's going to be difficult. But I still think there's enough quantity of the quality there, and I think Alex is going to look to find ways to add to that as well over the course of the season.
All right, Grant McCauley, since you brought up Grant Holmes, let's go to the starters. I believe that, this is me being a Braves homer, I guess, to some degree, that it's potentially that even without Max Fried, and we wish the best for Michael Soroka, geez, he could be something. Even without those guys, and even without a Charlie Morton, they may still have the best rotation in the game. You start looking at Chris Sale and Lopez and what Schwellenbach could grow into.
Yep.
If Strider comes back and looks like he did, that top four, along with maybe Ian Anderson or Elder or somebody else, it could be lights out good.
Yeah, I'm going to throw another name in there that has really opened some eyes this spring, and that's A.J. Smith-Shoffer. And this is a kid with big-time electric stuff that was about, I don't know, 2-3 years ahead of schedule when he came up in 2023. And, you know, they turned to him because they believed in the stuff. But over the last couple of years, I think he has been able to polish his arsenal and really start to learn some of the things that could make him successful as a big league starter. And clearly, the Braves saw the potential of who he could be when they turned to him in a dire situation to start game one of that wild card series against San Diego. Now, that didn't work out, but I would still tell you, they have carried him in the postseason twice. They're once again looking for him to, I think, take a big step forward. I think it's a measured step, maybe, because you're not asking him to front a rotation. But A.J. Smith-Shoffer at five is something I think a lot of clubs out there would very much like to be discussing. Then you do have Ian Anderson. You also have Hurston Waldrop, who's going to be at AAA Gwinnett this year, who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, needs to put some things together in the same way that A.J. Smith-Shoffer has been looking to do that. Then there is Bryce Elder. Now, Ian Anderson is interesting because he is out of options. So if he doesn't make the club, which I believe he will make the club, and based on all the maneuvering they've done in the past week, it seems to indicate that that will be the case, then his time with the Braves could be over. He'd be exposed to waivers, and maybe some other club out there says, yeah, we'll take that guy. So that behind the starting four of once you get Strider back in there, you've got a Cy Young winner in Chris Sale, who was as good at 35 as he was, I think, at just about any point in his career. Lopez opened a lot of eyes, and Spencer Schwellenbach opened even more. So that is a tantalizing starting four. You need health to make it all come together, and you'd like to have at least three or four of those guys to choose from when you get to October. That's why you want the quantity of it. But I do think that this is a stronger rotation, at least on paper right now, as any you'll find in the National League outside of the Dodgers, who for some reason have nine starters. And, oh, it's because they just seem to hoard just about everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, let's go to the outfield here. The signing of Alex Verdugo was not something I really anticipated. I was sort of surprised by it, but, you know, another depth veteran guy here. As you look at the outfield, and I want you to include Acuna Jr. in this because, you know, if you look at a healthy Ronald by the middle of May and Michael Harrison, who knows what his ceiling is, and Profar as the starters, where does a Verdugo fit in? Where does De La Cruz fit in? Where does, you know, certainly Kelnick fit in here? And how good is this outfield? Because I look at the starting rotation, and then I look at the outfield and go, man, is that the best outfield in baseball if it's healthy?
Yeah, we asked Ronald Acuna Jr. that at the start of spring training. He says, yeah. And actually, the question wasn't even asked that way. Like, what do you think of the outfield? Pretty much laid out the same way that you did as far as the starters are concerned. And he says, best outfield in baseball for me. Like, that's what it is. And getting Ronald back obviously elevates everything for this team from the lineup to the outfield, just the whole nine. That's just what happens when you've got a superstar player of that magnitude. But I've said this year after year after year. I'm just looking for that huge season from Michael Harris II. I mean, he came up, won Rookie of the Year. Maybe that took some people by surprise, but I think we saw it again in 23 and again in 24. There were stretches where, yes, he struggled, and then there were stretches where he looked like a star player because I think he is a star player. So I'm excited to see him healthy over the course of 162. I think that's been the only thing that's truly interrupted his ascent to being a star-level player in all of baseball, not just another good player on the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, for Jerickson Profar coming in on a three-year deal, the big get for the winter. He's a switch hitter, a good hitter at that. You know, he has some very professional at-bats. They like adding him into this lineup, and he's going to be the starting left fielder. And that does not leave a whole lot of room for the Jared Kelnicks, the Brian De La Cruzes, and now the Alex Verdugos. But those guys, I think, could still have a role to play because the Braves have found out in 2024, obviously in 2021. I mean, just about every year they have to deal with some kind of injury issue where you've got to have that depth. And it appears this year that Alex has decided, okay, well, maybe I couldn't do some of the things I wanted to do over the winter as far as impact moves are concerned, but we don't want to be caught trying to scour the waiver wire and find somebody to fit in here on short notice. Let's go ahead and build layers of depth. I think that's a very good thing for this club.
Grant, to the infield, Riley, Ozzy, and of course, you look at those two being injured for, an appreciable amount of time last year. You know, how healthy are they to begin? And then Olson, who I still think it was the baseball, but that's a different story. Of those three, where do we stand? Who do you think is going to have that big, big season?
Yeah, I think you look at the corners. I mean, Austin Riley every year is an MVP candidate when healthy, and he was starting to show that last year after a slow start, and then he got hit on the hand and missed the rest of the season, spent 14 weeks in a cast. So it was a long odyssey for him. And then Ozzy, not only did he break a toe, but he also had to deal with a broken wrist. So it was a pretty tough season for him, but there aren't many second basemen out there that you could say, when healthy, are going to hit you 30 homers, push 100 runs batted in, maybe 40 doubles. I mean, he has some appreciable skills out there that not a lot of second basemen can give you. And then, of course, Matt Olson. I don't know that it was the baseball, but I certainly won't say that it's not, because I think Major League Baseball has played around with it. But asking Matt Olson more specifically kind of what was not working for him when he was really going through it in the middle of the summer, he said he felt like he just got too mechanical and he needed to stop thinking about everything and just start going out and doing and just letting it ride. And once he did that, and I know he still continued to work and make the mechanical adjustments and things he needed to, that second half was a lot more like the Matt Olson I think we've come to expect and what he showed that he is capable of in his career year of 23. I'm not saying 58 home runs needs to happen every year. It'd be nice if it did, but this is a guy that has some serious, serious power. And I think that, he could have a year like that or a huge year just about any year. That's why the Braves went out and got him. So it's a powerful infield. You don't have a lot going on at shortstop. I think that the Braves would have upgraded if they could have. That's something I'll talk about on From the Diamond on Monday night. But if you've got everything else we've talked about, John, all clicking, and obviously catcher's got to be in there as well, and Orlando Arcia is playing a decent shortstop for you and batting ninth, you're not really worried as much about what his production is, though you would like more than you got in 2024. There's no two ways about that.
All right, Grant, final question here is kind of a two-parter. They start the season Thursday and on the West Coast. Is it a good deal to get that kind of a seven-game trip at San Diego at the Dodgers sort of out of the way? It's certainly as tough an opener as any team in all of baseball is going to have to go through. So it really tests your mettle before you come home. Speak to that and also speak to kind of the broader picture of your expectation of what you think this team ought to do this year.
I mean, obviously the Braves are going to go out there and try to win a couple of series. It will be challenging. San Diego's where their season ended last year. Padres had an intriguing winter. There's some talks about maybe that's a club that's tapped out of money, and this could be a very, very different 2025 for them. We'll see how that all plays out. But more specifically for the Braves, they'll go out. The West Coast has not always been kind to them, but this is a very good club. If they can go out there and take a couple of series or just come home as close to or around, that 500 mark, and then start to settle in a little bit, it will be a bit of an adjustment going from playing in the middle of the afternoon in Florida to playing night games out on the West Coast. So when they come home to adjust, when they finally get back to Truist Park to start the season at home, I think it's going to be a little bit interesting as far as the timing is concerned. But this is a club that has high expectations. They won 89 games last year and got into the playoffs despite everything that went wrong. I think their expectation, again, is to compete for the National League East title. Brian Snitker told me flat out, that's step one. We have to punch our ticket so we have a chance to get to the postseason and do something special. We can't do that if we're just aiming at a wild card and hoping that the numbers game's on our side. If we win the division, we're in, and we've got to figure out a way to do that. And then, John, you, me, and anybody listening knows what the next step is. You got to figure out ways to win in October again. I know there's been a lot of focus on the pitching. I understand that. But this is a club that hasn't hit in October the last 3 years either. They've got to find that switch. They've got to flip it. and they've got to get some things done. Some good pitching, some close games, some wins start to pile up. I think this is a club that can get real confident and do some big things, but they've got to go out there and prove it again because it's been a minute since the Braves have had the kind of October success they've wanted to.
All right, Grant, where can the fans find you? From the Diamond and every other platform? Go ahead and give yourself a little plug.
Yeah, you can find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. I'll have another spring training slash, you know, regular season preview, if you will, on Monday night. You'll hear from Alex Anthopoulos. I also have some conversations with Ian Anderson, with Grant Holmes. I'll share those with you. And you can find From the Diamond on Sundays all season long during baseball season. We'll bounce around a little bit in April, but we should settle into Sunday evenings or nights. So just stay tuned. Follow me on social media at Grant McCauley on most platforms. And you can find me right there, and I'll keep you updated on all the programming alerts throughout the season. It is a lot, but I'll try to share it all, and FromTheDiamond.com is another great place to get links to all of that.
Thanks, Grant. Do appreciate your getting up and taking the time. Thanks much, buddy.
You got it. Have a great morning.
All righty. Grant McCauley, our Braves reporter and insider. A lot of information packed into that 15 minutes. I hope you got something out of it. I did. And we'll talk Braves if you'd like at 404-726-0929. Just part of our discussion today, and we'll get into the NCAA tournament and the Falcons with the Hawks and United scheduled to play tonight. Told you, lots going on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Now, I was just listening to that promo, and you heard NCAA playoffs and that kind of stuff. One thing when you're in national media for as long, you know, you get a lot of people around because everybody, every place is listening. It's why I always tell you, don't kid yourself. The Hawks players and management and front office and employees, United, the Braves, the Falcons, everything, they all listen to us because they want to know, did somebody mention my name? You know, or what are they saying about us? So they all listen. You know, I'll check in. The NCAA, then you find out that people are really sensitive because, you know, people are sensitive. I mean, they are sensitive about how things are pronounced, for example. They're sensitive. Noel, you would never say, you know, for example, you know, you mispronounce the name of a city, right? If you said Houston, Georgia, you know, the people in Houston would get mad, right? Correct?
Of course.
Yeah, right. If you said DeKalb County, right? Not DeKalb.
Yeah, that would anger me.
And if you go up into the north, like up here in Indiana, you'll see the DeKalb corn signs everywhere because the corn company does pronounce the L. It is not DeKalb corn, it's DeKalb corn. And so everybody gets a little sensitive. It's how I found out that, you know, people in Hawaii really want to be called, and it's not mocking, they want to have, because that's why that little thing is there, at tilde, Hawaii. That's what they want to be called. Now, it's a little weird to say it because it sounds like you're mocking them. In Nevada, it's Nevada, not Nevada, right? It's like Gonzaga, not Gonzaga. So when people say Gonzaga, it even hurts my ears. It's not Gonzaga, it's Gonzaga, okay? They're the Zags, not the Zogs. All right, so I say all this to you because when we get down to, you know, this whole thing about, you know, making sure that we're accurate and we pronounce things correctly, it's important. And so people will mispronounce. So I heard somebody say McNess State, and I went, oh, my God. You know, what are they doing to you, you know? Oh, no, that's not going to work. You can't say McNess State. Wow. 404-726-0929. We have a lot to talk about the NCAA tournament. Oh, that's what I was going to mention, too. NCAA, no, you can't. The NCAA hates NCAA. They don't want to be called. It's like USC, and I'm not talking about South Carolina. I'm talking about the University of Spoiled Children out there in L.A. You can don't say, you know, SoCal. Don't say, like, SO period California. No, it's either Southern Cal or USC, and they're just sensitive about it. Don't call us SO period California. They'll call up newspapers and say that's not our school. I know. Okay, so it's just the way it is. 404-726-0929. Found this too. You want to know how hard it is to get a perfect bracket? Noel, would you believe me if I told you CBS Sports crunched the numbers? If I told you it was 1 in 1 trillion. To get a perfect bracket?
I believe
would you
it.
Say that? Yeah. Well, it's not. It's not 1 in 1 trillion. It's not. That would be good odds. It's 1 in 1 trillion times 9.2.
Oh, wow.
No, no, no. No, 1 in 1 trillion times 9.2 million. So it's 9.2 million trillion. It's called a quintillion. You have a 1 in 9.2 million trillion chance of getting every game right. So in other words, nobody ever does it. It's just impossible. And I thought, wait, really? Because I guarantee you there are a lot of people. Now, I got 30 of the 32. I guarantee you there are a lot of people right now who have so-called perfect brackets. Now, this may also include, by the way, the first four. Did you get those eight games right? Those four games right. But maybe somebody did. Maybe they picked the first four and they got all those right. And then now they've moved on and they're perfect through these. You know, even that. How many people, I would love to know how many people still have a, air quotes, perfect bracket on Yahoo or CBS or ESPN. My guess is not many. You know, it may be a handful. And then by the end of the day today, it may be like single digits. Because, you know, instantly, once you play, because I understand, everybody fills out their brackets, right? Instantly, in the first 9-8 game, okay, that happens, you know, if the 50% take one team and 50%, half the field has already lost a game. So you instantly cut half. There goes half, you know? And so now you start with a million people, and now you're down to 500,000 on one game. And then the next time you have it up, there's another half, you know? So it just keeps having and having and having. One in 9.2 million trillion odds. That's staggering anyway. So eight SEC teams remain. Eight Big Ten teams remain. Three from the Big East. Six from the Big 12, which has had a pretty good tournament. ACC's got one. One. But it's a pretty good one, I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty good one. It's Duke. But still, they only have one, which is just like staggering. All right, chance to get a couple of calls in here. And again, at the top of the hour, we will switch to the NCAA tournament and talk to our buddy Deshaun Tate. Then we'll open it back up and talk to you. I have a Falcons question for you coming up today that I'm going to pose to you as well as we count down. Because remember, the draft is coming up in a month. Our buddy Mel wants to chime in here. Mel, what is shaking, my friend?
Well, right now, you know, all this March Madness and so forth, you know, like I told you last time, I don't get interested into the Final Four. I'm just hoping all my Southern teams, you know, make it to the Final Four. But I will listen to you talking about baseball. Man, baseball, 162 games.
Yep.
And I know you were talking to the expert for the Braves, and they were talking about, still talking about left field. And what makes it so bad, last time I told you, a lot of you, the stars not going to play the whole season. I guarantee you. Then they're going to talk about the injuries. They've been down there in spring training, 4, 5, 6 weeks? And they ought to be ready to go now. And I guarantee you, a lot of them not going to be in shape once the season starts next week. They're not going to be in shape. Somebody going to have some poor muscles and so forth. But anyhow, I'm just listening to you elaborate on a lot of events coming up. But, bring it on. I'm waiting for football. I'm going to be interested in spring football. I don't care too much about it because I play a lot of sports. I played a lot of sports in my days. I mean, you go way back. You know when I played. And so, I'm not excited about it. But, I'll be glad when the Jackson Football League kick off. I can't wait till September, August.
Well, let's start, Mel, let me ask you a question about that. Let's start with one of the questions I have here. Where do you think now, given the signings of the Falcons, because, the National Football League never sleeps, the draft is a month away. Now our attention turns to the draft. The Falcons are pretty much done in free agency. They have a little bit of money, and who knows, they could trade Kirk Cousins or they can make, another adjustment here. But with the signing of Jordan Fuller, I think with Leonard Floyd and Morgan Fox and the moves they've made on defense, it leaves me kind of scratching my head exactly which way they're going to lean in the draft. Do you have a pretty good idea of where they may go in the draft?
Linebacker and a defensive end. Now, you know what? I wish you can get the guy from Cleveland. I know you're kind of old, but I wish they could have got him. But it's okay. Linebacker or defensive end.
You mean like a Miles Garrett? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I wish they could have got him. But, I know they can't, this money care. But like I said, they better get defense. Linebacker. Because, I like Anderson, but he get hurt too much. I'm going to tell you something, since you asked me that question. I like that linebacker from Georgia. What's his name, Johnson?
Jalen Walker?
No, the other one.
Oh, are you talking about Dan Jackson?
I'm going to put it this way.
Jackson?
No, the white boy. The linebacker.
Dan Jackson. Coming up here.
I'll put it this way. He was a walk-on.
All right. But that's not your first pick.
Well, you know what I mean? I like him. I like him from Georgia. But I know
Yeah, Jalen Walker, if he's there, but I don't think Walker will be there at 15.
I would love
to have Jalen Walker. I don't think Michael Williams would be there either.
Yeah, but I like the other linebackers.
Well, I mean, the problem is that they don't have a whole lot of draft picks. So I'm kind of locked in on number one right now, trying to figure out which way they're going to go. I think it'll be Mel, best player available. I think they're going to be in best player available mode. Whoever the highest rated guy on their board
is. Look here, John, they're always that way, the best player. But like I said, they better get another linebacker and a defense end. If they don't, Mercedes-Benz might get burned down.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of fans keep saying
that. I might be one of lighting the torch to it.
I don't think they're going to be lighting the torch to it. They should be a pretty good team. They should be a pretty good team. This should have been last year.
I ain't going to go through all that. I'm just going to wait and see. Because I know all the
– Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm waiting to see, too. I think we all are.
Look here. What you said, if they don't get to the playoff and make it, of course, it should be fine. I'd be out there helping pack up. Get fired this year. If they don't make it to the playoff, all of them are going to be fired.
Thanks, Mel. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I got to get up and get to this commercial break here. No, I've said this. I'll repeat it. That soon as, to use an old Al Seraldo term, God rest the soul of the great Al Seraldo for you Tech fans, toe meets leather. When toe meets leather on that opening game, whoever the Falcons are playing, the moment toe meets leather, that somebody can just, and then hit a play button, because that clock is ticking on Terry Fontenot from that moment on. And for that matter, Raheem Morris and rest of the coaching staff, because new general manager want his own people. So, yeah, there could be a clean house if they don't. So they've been working around this offseason with the understanding that I'm sure Mr. Blank laid down the law to him. It's just not acceptable. 404-726-0929, of course, John Tate is our college basketball expert. I'm going to pick his brain next about what we are seeing in the round of 32, what he saw in the opening couple of days of the tournament, and who he thinks now, and what has been essentially pretty chalky. What does he think now about who might be the teams to beat? We'll do that next with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.